Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for today. Thank you for all your wonderful blessings that you give us. Thank you for this time that we could get together as brothers in Christ to study the Word and to fellowship with each other, to talk with each other, and to just be here enjoying this time. Father, we pray for the peace of Israel and what's going on over there, Lord. We pray for all those who are suffering. And we pray for those that are trying to do your will, Lord, to spread the gospel. And we pray that, you know, that you would just make a way so they could get through any way that you want them to get through, Father. So thank you so much for this time, and we ask that you bless the ministries here, the youth, the WANA, the youth group, and the moms group who is doing their testimonies today. We thank you and we bless your name in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
All right, Revelation chapter 4.
Lazarus, can you hand me a flyer, please?
Yeah.
Thanks.
Everybody got one? You got one? So this is the third section of the book. If you were here at the beginning, when we first started the book, I mentioned there was three sections to this book, the book of the Revelation. Mm-hmm. And the first section started in chapter 1. The second section started in chapter 2 and 3, speaking of the churches. We just finished speaking about the churches. And this is the third section, which has to do with the future things that are going to happen. Mm-hmm. So, if we look at verse 1, it says, after these things, what things?
Chapter 3.
Yeah. Or you could go all the way back to chapter 1.
After the church age?
If you go to 119, look at 119. It says, write these things, which you have seen, things which are will take place after this. So John is saying in verse 1, after these things, I looked. This is John. I is John. He's the author of the book. And behold, a door standing open in heaven. Let's try to picture this in our minds, what's going on here. And the first voice which I heard was like a trumpet speaking with me, saying, come up here, and I will show you things which must take place after this.
Is that like the entrance to heaven?
It sort of looks like it, right? Mm-hmm. But it doesn't say he enters it, right? He just looks at it.
Yeah.
He says, after these things, I looked. He didn't have to look back. He didn't have to look down. He didn't have to look up. He just looked. Well, and behold, a door standing open in heaven.
God does say the
what a entrance. Vision.
God does say the entrance to heaven is a narrow gate. Narrow entrance, right?
Few that be that find it.
Mm-hmm. And then when he looks at this door standing open in heaven, he hears a voice. And the voice sounded like a trumpet speaking with me, saying, come up here. Now, a lot of scholars think that come up here is a reference to the rapture of the church. But others think that it's most likely, just God telling him to come up, telling John to come up. And it says, come up here and I will show you things which must take place after this. Then verse 2, immediately I was in the spirit. Good morning. Good afternoon. Good evening. Good evening. Hello. Verse 2. Immediately I was in the spirit. Now that phrase, in the spirit, we see this also in chapter 1. We see it in, let's see, I think I wrote it down here. I know it's in chapter 1 somewhere. Let's look at it.
Yeah, because it sounds like he's standing on earth looking up towards heaven, looking at the door, and then now he's in the spirit. He's up there.
Right.
I don't think he's on earth.
Revelation 1:10.
This is the throne room.
So in Revelation 1:10, he mentions the same phrase, I was in the spirit on the Lord's day. Mm-hmm. And then here in verse 2, he says, I was in the spirit. And behold, a throne set in heaven, one set on the throne. We're in Revelation chapter 4, guys. Hosea, yeah. Mm-hmm. Now we're in 3. Mm-hmm. And he who sat there was like a jasper and a sardius stone in appearance. And there was a rainbow around the throne in appearance like an emerald. So we see John looking. In verse 1, he sees a door open in heaven. He hears a voice saying, come up here. Then he's in the spirit. In verse 3, then he sees the one sitting on a throne. And it says that he who sat there was like a jasper and sardius stone in appearance. And there was a rainbow around the throne in appearance like an emerald.
So, hold on a second. Mm-hmm. How would you describe someone looking like a jasper stone? Mm-hmm. And a sardius in appearance? Like, I can't envision that.
That's a simile. I don't even know what one looks like.
But I think it's symbolic. We're going to get to that. That's a good question, Tony.
It's something to something beautiful.
I wrote down
that. And I think they look up because in a throne room, you usually put the king up kind of in up high.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that's why they... And he's saying, come up here. I want to show you stuff.
In verse 3, the rainbow... What's the first thing that comes to your mind when you read a rainbow?
A rainbow? Noah's Ark.
Right. Mm-hmm. What was the covenant?
The covenant, was the promise to flood the earth with water again.
Right.
The promise never to do it again.
Right. I think I wrote in your notes, it says the rainbow is reminiscent of God's covenant never again to judge the earth by what?
By water.
By a flood.
By flood.
In Genesis 9, 8-17. Perhaps implying that a different means of judgment was about to come upon the earth. Let's keep reading. EP, you want to say something? I'm sorry.
No.
You good?
Good.
Around the throne were 24 thrones. Okay, so we see one throne. Jasper and sardius stone. There's a rainbow around this throne. Appears like an emerald. And then around the throne were 24 thrones. So let's picture that. There's one throne. And around that one throne, there's 24 thrones. And on the thrones, I saw 24 elders sitting. So one throne in the middle, right? And that throne, someone sitting there. I think it's a reference to the Lord, to God, not Jesus. There's a rainbow around this throne. There's 24 thrones around this throne. And there's 24 elders sitting on these thrones. And they're clothed in white robes. And they had crowns of gold on their heads. We're going to get to what people think about who are these 24 elders. Some say they're angels. Some say they're people from the church age.
12 apostles.
Why do you think there's 24 of them?
That's a good question. That number 24 is a good number.
I was just thinking there's 12 apostles. And if you want to bring the Old Testament in, there's 12 sons of Israel. So.
Yeah, I
think they were.
Mm-hmm. 12 tribes plus 12 disciples.
Right? Mm-hmm. I think the number 7 is going to come around here somewhere. Yep, verse 5. All right, verse 5. And from the throne proceeding lightnings, thunderings, and voices. 7 lamps of fire. Now, the number 7 is very popular, right, in the Bible?
Yes.
It's the number of what? Completion, people say?
Yeah.
7 lamps of fire were burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. Mm-hmm. Before the throne, there was a sea of glass. Man, it's hard to try to picture all this I was going to bring up a picture of it to see if there was any pictures online. I'm sure there is. Of this vision, because it's a vision, okay?
Is there any relation between those 7 spirits of God and the 7 angels of the earlier chapters?
Maybe. I'll see if I can find a picture. Let's see. The sea of glass before this throne. The sea of glass was like crystal. And in the midst of the throne and around the throne were 4 living creatures full of eyes in front and in back. That is weird, right? The first living creature was like a what?
A lion.
A lion. Mm-hmm. In Matthew, some people think that this is referring back to the 4 Gospels. Mm. In Matthew, Christ is known as what?
The lion of the tribe of Judah.
Yeah.
The second living creature was like a calf. Anybody have a different translation for calf?
Ox.
Mm. Is that what the New American has on, Tony?
Sacrificial animal, right? Yeah.
Well, a calf is a baby
something.
Cow. Yeah. Or it could be also a baby ox. Mm. It's yeah, it's anything, used on those type of animals.
Be, yeah, it could be a camel.
They're all calves.
We have a very limited vocabulary when it comes to animals. In the Old Testament,
you see
any animals.
So we have a lion, a calf, and then the third looked like what? Had a face of a what?
Man.
Of a man.
Mm-hmm. That's scary.
And then the fourth living creature was like a flying eagle. Mm-hmm. Amazing. Now, verse 8, the four living creatures, each having six wings, were full of eyes around and within.
Well, that sounds angelic to me. Like the seraphim.
And the eyes all over. It can mean something, right? When there's eyes all around something, that means what?
They see everything.
They see everything, right?
You can't hide anything from them.
God is what? Omniscient, right? He sees. Well, no, what is he? When he sees everything. Omniscient. He knows everything.
Yeah.
Omnipresent.
Omnipresent. He's everywhere. Mm-hmm. Omnipotent. He's all powerful.
Omnibenevolent. All good.
Yep. Verse 8, the four living creatures that we just mentioned here, the lion, the calf, the man, and the eagle, add how many wings?
Six.
And were full of eyes around within. And they do not rest day or night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. That sounds like angels, right?
Yeah.
I got a question. I didn't think there was any night in heaven.
Yeah.
I never.
This might be like, I think it's symbolic.
Eternity.
Yeah.
Maybe. So that we understand.
Well, time is still going on Earth. I mean, the tribulation is going on when this is happening, I think.
Verse 9. Whenever the living creatures give glory and honor, these creatures, and thanks to Him, to God, who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before Him. They fall down before the one sitting on the throne, who's God, who sits on the throne and worship Him, who lives forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for You created all things, and by Your will they exist. And we're creating.
You know, that casting crowns idea, you know, people say, well, we get a crown for different things. And
yeah.
Maybe just being saved, we get a crown for that. But, you know, people go, well, we've got to put them all before Jesus, but or before God. But there's somebody I respect that believes that's when we're in His presence.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you what, when I was in the Army, there were certain rules on how you walk into a room of a commanding officer or something like that, and you know, whether you wore a hat. You could wear a hat if you were under arms, but if you didn't have a weapon, you couldn't wear a hat inside. Stuff like that. But anyway, I had this kid one time. I said, are you? He was so bad in class. He was a senior, and he was just really bad in math for kids that don't want to take math. But he was cutting up, and I said, do you know the Lord? And he goes, absolutely. You trusted Him seventh grade, whatever. Well, why do you act like that? Don't you believe in rewards in heaven? We give all our crowns back.
Mm. He said, for you, man.
I couldn't believe it.
Mm. All right, let's go back to verse 1. Excuse me.
1:1, right?
Yes, sir. So it says in your notes, this verse signals the beginning of a new section of the book of Revelation. I mentioned earlier before you guys got here, Jenny and Jose, that, and maybe Eric didn't listen, this is the third section of the book of Revelation. The first section started in chapter 1. The second section started in chapter 2 and 3 concerning the churches. And now this section is going to reveal the terrifying events that will happen in the future or occur in the future. This is the main section of the apocalypse, and it continues all the way to to chapter 22, verse 5. Which is the end, right?
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Well, almost to the end. Mm-hmm. The last verse of Revelation is 21. But it goes all the way to 22:25 of chapter 22. Mm. Like I mentioned earlier, come up here in verse 1 is also the command given to the two resurrected witnesses in 11:12. Some consider this command to refer to the rapture of the church before the great tribulation. And the reason why they say this is because when you see come up here, the church is not mentioned at all the way through, I'm going to guess, 21. I'm not 100% sure. But there's no mention of the church within these chapters, starting here all the way to chapter 21. No mention of the church. And some we think that because the church is raptured.
This is in heaven. I mean, they're raptured this describes
heaven. I'm just saying this. People refer to mm-hmm. this. This might be the rapture.
I mean, I think the rapture
he's
initiates.
He's talking about two resurrected witnesses.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
So you would think.
Think
it's
about
in heaven.
Think about the earth going through the death of all believers. That's going to be pretty traumatic.
However, it may be simply a phrase in apocalyptic style that introduces John's revelatory vision.
Mm-hmm.
So give me either one. We're not 100% sure. So a lot of people believe that this is not talking about the, like you said, about the rapture. It's not referring to the rapture. It's just referring to
what's going to happen.
No, what God is calling John to come up to see what's, to see this vision.
Right.
Verse 2. Now this is a puzzling phrase here, in the spirit. And in my opinion, and I want to hear what you guys have to say about this, I think when he says, I was in the spirit, he had to be in the spirit in order to see this vision.
Yeah, and he says immediately,
I was
in the spirit, almost like something happened suddenly.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
I think the spirit is just the body, soul, and spirit, and that God's a spirit and must be worshipped in spirit and in truth. You don't need a body to go to heaven. I mean, you need one to come to earth,
mm-hmm.
and that's why we'll be changed on the way up, so we come right back. But
it's where I write it.
So yeah, it's a spirit. I think it's a spiritual place. I want to get as far away as I can from the flesh.
Oh, here it is. I wrote it down here. After Revelation 2:3. Chapters 2 and 3, no reference is made of the church again into 22:16. Look at that.
It used to be important to me, but I can't remember why.
What's that?
That the church is not mentioned.
Yeah, because they say that because...
During those verses, I can't remember why it was important, but welcome
so,
to my world.
Some people referred that the coming up is referring to the rapture. In the spirit. I wrote... In the spirit could mean John's physical senses are supernaturally suspended. So like I said, this could mean that he needs to be in the spirit in order to see this vision that God's given him. Like a trance.
Yeah, Jesus took him up and showed him everything, what's going to happen in the future.
Yeah, but he needs to be in the spirit to see this.
In the spirit, in the spirit.
Yeah.
In chapter 1... Verse 10.
Hey, Joe.
He announced that he was in the spirit on the Lord's day.
I said that in verse chapter 1, what?
110.
110, right. Let's go to Ezekiel 11. Ezekiel 11. I wrote that down for a reason. I think I know why.
There it is.
Ezekiel 11, 1.
That's in the Old Testament, right?
Yes, sir.
Yes. 11:1, right?
Yeah. 11:1.
Oh, I'm Ezra. I got the old Ezekiel.
All right.
Oh, there it is.
So it says in
chapter 1?
Chapter 11, verse 1. Mm-hmm. It says something lifted up Ezekiel and brought him to the east gate of the Lord's house. What was it?
The spirit.
It says the spirit lifted Ezekiel up and brought him to the east gate of the Lord's house. Then look down number 5, verse 5. Then the spirit of the Lord fell upon me and said to me, speak. So can we connect that with this verse here? Maybe. I was looking it up and I saw that that mentioned the Spirit lifting him up. So I said, maybe it connects. How about in Jude 20? Everybody go to Jude 20 in the New Testament. It's another verse that came up.
Yeah, but in Ezekiel 11, before you move on, this is talking about God. The Spirit is referring to God.
I think. And the Holy Spirit is God, right?
Like, it's not saying I was in the Spirit.
Right.
It's saying the Spirit, like capital S Spirit, lifted me up. So that's like a reference. That'd be the Holy Spirit.
But by the way, just for hermeneutics, and that's the study of the Bible, all the letters in all the manuscripts are capital letters. So you can't really, that's a translator that does that. It's commentary, not inspired.
And verse 5 says the Spirit of the Lord.
Yeah, well, there you go. There you go.
But it is capital letters.
I wasn't complaining about it. I was just...
I think in the capital letters, so we know it's talking about
the Holy Spirit.
That's what the guy thinks that wrote it.
Because original scripture all capital.
Yeah, it's for our benefit, I'm saying.
What this was translated from was all caps. No spaces and no punctuation. Holy macaroni.
So just run on sentences?
You know, kids like write that all the time. They'll put all the words together on a computer.
You could have been half asleep.
And it makes perfect sense. You can read it. Easy.
Yeah. I think what I said earlier, what Jose, like, I said in verse 2, immediately.
I think we kind of look too deep.
So he looks, he sees a door in heaven open, right? He hears a voice. Then he hears, come up here. And then immediately I was in the Spirit.
Immediately. Like he lived. Yeah.
And then he gets to see the throne. You know, God sitting on the throne. He sees these 24 elders. He sees these 24 thrones. He sees the lightning, the thunderings. So I think he needed to be in the Spirit in order to see these things.
Well, I personally think it's like a second vision. I think he's having, he had the first vision, chapters 1 through 3, and now he's having a second vision.
Yeah. Yeah,
and now he's going back into the Spirit again.
Because he says he was in verse chapter 1. He was in the Spirit in the Lord's day, right? Is that what you said? Chapter 1:110. What are you gonna say, EP?
I forgot.
I don't necessarily think he's been in the Spirit. The fact that you heard Jesus, I don't care what you're in. You see whatever Jesus wants you to see.
Mm-hmm.
I figured.
You could be in the middle of the desert. You can see water.
Yeah,
and you're not. That's my opinion.
That's good. I like this. Different
rapture goes all the way to Adam. The dead in Christ already. Didn't the dead in Christ go up with Christ when he was crucified? Didn't all the dead people go up with him? In paradise. He led captivity captive.
Yeah.
So they're already there, and they're spirits. And my wife is up there, and she's a spirit. And she's going to get her body when the dead in Christ, and so will Adam and everybody else. Mm-hmm. When the dead in Christ rise, then we shall meet them in the Lord in the air, so shall we ever be with the Lord.
Yeah.
And that's when they get their bodies, and we get our new body, I think, on the way up. But because, I guess, we're turning around and coming right back. I don't know why we need a body in heaven, but...
It's a new body.
It's a new body.
It's a new body that can go in spiritual realms.
But remember, we're going to need a body to live in the
Jesus,
kingdom.
Right?
Yeah.
When Jesus
but that's on earth, right?
Yeah, on earth.
It's on a humongous planet.
Yeah,
millennium.
If you talk about after the kingdom.
Yeah, millennium.
But after the millennium is...
I mean, Jesus resurrected and they could touch him and he could walk through walls. Yeah. So it's a new body.
A new body.
Right.
Yeah.
When I had my thing that happened to me, I saw my mother.
Of course you did.
In your bike.
I was out of the body. I saw my mom holding out to my hand.
Paul came back and said, that's not lawful to talk about, but that's okay. I'm sure he did. Mm-hmm. He said he got caught up in heaven, and it's not. I saw things that are not lawful to talk about.
So let's go back to in the Spirit. And I wrote this, this is just me thinking. So John is writing scripture, right? He's writing the book of Revelation, or he wrote the book of Revelation.
Mm-hmm.
So I think being in the Spirit, I don't think it's repeatable. Because it was a unique thing that happened to John. It's just me. You have to agree with this. So I wrote, being in the Spirit is not repeatable and unique because John is writing scripture, right?
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we as believers, what does the Bible say that we can do with that? How are we supposed to react with the Spirit? Or it says to abide in the Spirit, right? And what does it mean to abide?
To follow?
It means to follow, to remain. Talking
about the Holy Spirit?
Yeah, the Spirit. It says abide in the Spirit. Yeah, it means to John chapter 15 says to abide in the Spirit.
I think I'm going to listen to him.
You remain in him. You're listening to him. But you remain in something. You listen to him. You obey. And you're walking hand in hand with the Spirit. So I think, you know, we can abide in the Spirit so we can receive, you know, God's, his understanding, his will, his work, and all that stuff. So it's pretty tricky, the being in the Spirit. Obviously we'll know what it means when we get to heaven. But I like the different views that everybody's been spewing out here, which is good. All right, so verse 3, this is where it gets kind of tricky because, brother, was it Pete, you brought up what's a jasper and a sardines? Oh, no, it was Tony.
Stones.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Bright stones.
Yeah. So, again, we could use scripture to interpret scripture. Let's see. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 6. Let's see there. Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 through 8.
Isaiah chapter 6, right?
Right. As we see here in verse 3 of Revelation chapter 4, God sat on his throne. And it says, he who sat there was like a jasper and a sardius stone in appearance. And then there was a rainbow around the throne. We already talked about the rainbow. In appearance like an emerald. Then in Isaiah chapter 6, I'm sure you guys know this very popular verse. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne high lifted up. And the train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim. Each one had six wings. With two he covered his face. With two he covered his feet. And with two he flew. And one cried to another, saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. Mm-hmm. The whole earth is full of his glory.
Wow, that sounds like the living creatures.
Yeah. In Revelation, right?
Rather angelic.
Yeah. And then, see here.
They also had six wings.
Yeah. Well, the same ones. One in the Old Testament.
So they're seraphim.
Yeah, exactly.
Where did I leave off here?
Those are the ones that... Right close to God.
Aren't the seraphim the ones on the Noah's Ark? I mean, not Noah's Ark. Noah's Ark.
No, the cherubim.
Yeah. Wait, not
cherubims,
Noah's Ark.
Cherubims.
The Ark
of the Covenant.
The Ark of the Covenant.
Yeah.
Those are cherubims, you said?
Cherubim. CH.
Okay.
Doesn't the Ark have wings over it? Isn't that part of the
Ark? That's what you're talking
about.
Yeah. So, this view of God's throne in heaven. It's very similar, what we read here, to Isaiah chapter 6. Very similar. And then we mentioned the rainbow that surrounded the throne goes back all the way to Genesis 9, 12 to 17. Let's go to Genesis 9. The book of Revelation alludes heavily on the Old Testament. Heavily. So Genesis 9:12 speaks of this rainbow, and we mentioned about this rainbow. It's a sign of a covenant, right? That God made with who?
Noah.
And every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. I set my rainbow in the cloud, and it shall be for the sign of the covenant between me and the earth. We're in Genesis 9:12, Brother Pete.
Okay. Got it.
9:12, and then verse 13. I set my rainbow, here it is, in the cloud. And it shall be the sign of the covenant between me and the earth. Mm-hmm. It shall be, when I bring a cloud over the earth, that the rainbow shall be seen in the cloud. And I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you and every living creature of all mm-hmm. flesh. The waters shall never again become a flood to destroy all the flesh, mm-hmm. all flesh. So the rainbow shall be in the cloud, and I will look on it to remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is on the earth.
And God said it to Noah.
Go. This is a sign. Go ahead.
Okay, this is a sign of the covenant which was established between me and all flesh that is on earth.
Very good.
Mm-hmm. And now all the sons of Noah went out of the ark. I can't pronounce some of the names.
Don't worry about that.
And then the father.
So that rainbow that we see is, we could compare it to the rainbow here in Genesis.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All right, let's go move on. Unless anybody has a question on that. Nobody? We good?
Mm-hmm.
Verse 4. Around the throne were 24 thrones. And on the thrones I saw 24 elders. These elders sitting, clothed in white robes. And they had crowns of gold on their heads. Now in your notes, I wrote 24 elders occupy the thrones. Mm-hmm. Right? We see that. They're sitting on these thrones. Mm-hmm. The identity of the elders is not certain. I know everybody here is going to have different opinions. Some think that they represent the church or believers in heaven. But it seems preferable to view the elders as angels who comprise a heavenly ruling council that we see in Jeremiah.
Well, angels don't rule over us in heaven. We're above them. So.
And another thing, too, nowhere in Scripture does you see angels with what?
Mm-hmm. Crowns.
With crowns. Or wearing what? What does it say in Revelation? What are they wearing?
White robes.
White robes or white raiment.
We rule over the angels in heaven.
So, I guess there's another question. We'll know when we get there.
Or this is still a transition point.
Yeah.
Where things are getting handed off for whatever reason.
So, how many see angels here?
I can't imagine we're going to hang out in a room like this forever.
No.
So, it's got to be a transition of something.
I'm seeing Jeremiah.
The lobby.
The lobby. Yeah.
The lobby.
The reception.
And I look, they do have some art online of these four or five verses, and it's kind of interesting.
You know. They did find the picture.
Yeah. So it's and the way that they show the artwork here, it's almost like having those really bright LED lights nowadays that light everything up. There's 12 guys here, 12 guys there. There's the weird animals with wings, and then here's how the throne is all lit up.
So these white robes and crowns of gold point to those who are confirmed in righteousness and possess ruling authority. What does it say that those who overcome will rule with Christ when? In the millennium, right?
Mm-hmm.
We have ruling authority. The wearing of crowns indicates that the elders had already been judged and rewarded.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful. That's the judgment seat of Christ.
Yeah. The wearing of crowns indicates that the elders had already been judged and rewarded.
That happens.
First I guess they had to have something to do while they're waiting for the rest of us to get there.
Exactly. Why'd they get those crowns?
We all get there.
So it could refer to believers, maybe.
It's a rapture. It's the judgment seat of Christ. Come on.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Which occurs at first part of the tribulation. We're in heaven getting rewarded.
Mm-hmm.
Israel's getting clobbered for not trusting Christ. Mm-hmm. And you know, he puts an end to it because nobody would survive if he didn't come early after 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
But so, and it talks about the first 3.5 years and then the last 3.5 are really bad. I think the first half were at this great awards banquet and marriage feast of the Lamb. And then the second half were busy watching the motion seals and whatever, you know, all that other stuff that's going on in heaven right before he comes back.
Verse 5, and from the throne proceeding lightnings, thunderings, and voices. 7 lamps of fire were burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God.
Mm-hmm.
Lightnings and thunders reflect the awesome majesty of God and recall the divine authority to judge. Now the 7 spirits of God. I know somebody mentioned something that could be what? The Holy. Some say it could be the Holy Spirit. Was that you, Tony, that said that?
I said... do they compare to the 7 angels of the first 3 chapters?
7 churches, yeah.
Seven churches.
Didn't they call them angels? The angels?
Yeah, they called them churches.
The angel of the church?
Yeah.
So that
I don't know what they are.
And
remember, the angel can be a messenger, too.
And Jesus is holding the 7 stars in his hands.
Mm-hmm.
In his hand.
Mm-hmm. Angel means messenger, is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
So the 7 spirits of God... as represented by seven lamps, presents the fullness of the seventh of the Holy Spirit. Let's look at Isaiah 11.
That, is that the love, joy, peace, patience, something, self-control? What are those things?
The fruits of the Spirit.
The fruits of the Spirit. So in kind of adjectives and allegory, you could say, oh, those are the seven spirits. Because what are seven spirits otherwise?
Yeah. I never thought of that.
There has to be some kind of association or something, quote, good.
Mm-hmm.
Just think about the angels that interfaced with Mary and Joseph, and they were pretty sharp people, you know? I mean, they sure looked like people. And I think the angels in heaven will be able to communicate and do everything they did here on earth. And mm-hmm. It'd be a shame to be a messenger and not have a message.
Look at Isaiah 11, verse 2 and 3. Isaiah 11, verse 2 and 3. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. His delight is in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by sight of his eyes, nor decide by hearing of his ears.
Who's that? Who is he talking about there?
That is
the Spirit of the Lord. Restoration of the Messiah's kingdom.
The branch from
Jesse. That's the Messiah?
No, that's how they put it. You know how sometimes in a chapter they'll say, oh, this next chapter is about blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. In this case, they're saying, this next chapter in Isaiah is regarding the restoration of Messiah's kingdom.
Mine says the branch from Jesse.
What kingdom?
Yeah, mine too.
Messiah's
kingdom.
Which is, kingdom.
Oh, okay.
Jesse is, right?
David's father?
It would be David's father.
So then from that lineage comes mm-hmm. Jesus, so...
Mine says the reign of Jesse's offspring.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, and then the verse starts, the one starts with, there shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse. And a branch shall grow out of his roots. And then it goes on to say, the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of wisdom, the Spirit of counsel, the Spirit of knowledge. The seven lamps or torches signify the unique role of the Holy Spirit mm-hmm. in executing judgment.
There was a hierarchy among the angels, right? So maybe there's... You know,
that's a really good point, man.
Up in heaven, too.
I think go back and listen to Michael Heiser to get again the hierarchy.
Who is the chief prince, according to Daniel?
Sounds like the Messiah to me.
An angel was called the chief prince.
Gabriel?
Well, the angel of the Lord is...
Michael.
A lot of times, Christ.
Jesus himself, yeah.
The angel of the Lord is
Michael, very good.
No, he's not Michael.
Let's go to Daniel 10. You'll see it.
There's only two angels' names mentioned in the Bible, I believe. Michael and Gabriel, right?
Yeah. Did it mention my name? Yeah.
There's no other names.
No.
And in the Old Testament, the angel of the Lord appeared to Josh, you know, Joshua, and you know, said, "Take off your shoes. You stand on holy ground." So obviously.
Well, that's the angel of the Lord.
That's Christ.
That's Christ. Yeah.
No angel's going to say, "Take off your shoes. I'm making this ground holy." No,
yeah,
not gonna happen.
But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. And behold, Michael, one of the chief princesses, came to help me.
Wow.
For I have been left alone. What's that?
Oh, that?
Daniel 10:13.
That's right. That's when they were battling it out with Satan, right?
Yeah.
And Jesus just wasn't gonna the go and kingdom do it of Persia, they had to do it themselves.
I wrote down Colossians also. 1:16. Alright. So where are we? Verse
4:6.
See if I wrote anything about 4:6 here. Alright, 4:6 says, before the throne there was a sea of glass. I heard some people say that they think it's ice, because it's like crystal. Mm-hmm. In the midst of the throne and around the throne were four living creatures full of eyes in front and in back.
If you go out in the Gulf Stream, sometimes it is like glass.
Yeah.
I mean, it is just...
That's so true. And
so it could be no storms. No.
So I think we kind of already agreed that these four living creatures, they're angels. Let's look at this in Ezekiel, because Ezekiel saw close... Because, you know, Ezekiel, wasn't he transferred into God's throne.
Ezekiel was 30 years old, the prophet, who was taken into captivity, and he sees that wild chariot go in front of him on the Tigris, or the Euphrates, I'm sorry. And he's like, you know, and now he's going to spend the rest of it. He's not going to get to be a priest unless he does it in, you know, Daniel's or whatever, Nehemiah, Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom, or later Cyrus the Great. But those young guys, they got ripped off. Well, it was like Ezekiel did, but there's some good stuff, man. I mean, he was so wicked in Israel. And God's Shekinah glory left on that chariot because they were offering children to God.
What chapter is that? That's Ezekiel.
I forget where it is.
I think it's chapter. I forget where it's down here.
It's somewhere. In Ezekiel.
Yeah. But these four living creatures that we're talking about in Revelation are very similar to the four living creatures or to the angels in Ezekiel.
Right.
And the seraphim. I think I wrote down Ezekiel chapter 10, verse 1 through 20. And you can see it. I'm not going to read all those verses, but
yeah,
you can see it's very, very close. It says, now the cherubim was standing on the south side of the temple. The cherubim appeared to have a form of man's hand under their wings. Just read it, 1 through 20.
Yeah, he describes. Ezekiel 8.
Ezekiel 8?
Verse 3. It goes on. I'm sorry. It's 10:14, and it says, the face of the cherub, the face of a man, the face of a lion, and the face of an eagle.
There you go. Look at that. That's part of what I wrote, right?
Yeah,
I wrote
you did.
10, yeah. 1, 120.
So he describes them each as having four faces.
So
still, it's a very similar description.
Very similar.
The main difference is the cherub and the calf.
The cherub and the calf.
Read it again.
One face was that of a cherub, the second the face of a man, the third the face of a lion, and the fourth the face of the eagle.
Right.
The point is that there were four, right?
But in Revelation, the four are lion, calf, man, and eagle. Right. So, like, the difference is calf.
Calf and cherub.
Cherub, man.
Mm-hmm. What's a cherub?
Cherub's an angel.
But is it something else? Like, is it an animal? is there anything? Yeah. Is there anything on Earth referred to a cherub as like an animal?
No.
No.
Not in English.
It's also visions that they're having. Which can't be perfect.
There's probably things that...
It just means an angel. I got the face of an angel, face of a cherub.
Very interesting.
And then the eyes, it says the full of eyes, could mean that they can see everything. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. These four living creatures have eyes all around them.
Yeah.
And it means that maybe that means that they can see everything. Verse 7, the first living creature was like a lion. The second living creature like a calf. The third living creature had a face like a man. The fourth living creature was like a flying eagle, or what you see here in Ezekiel.
In Ezekiel.
So others see like I said, the four gospels here.
It sounds like divine LIDAR.
Lion, the lion of the tribe of Judah, right? I wrote that down. Did I write down any notes?
Cameras that can see.
Yeah, this sort of the lion, calf, man, and eagle have understood as referring to the four gospels, with the distinctive portrayals of Christ. Mm-hmm. However, the description recalls the four cherubims. We just read it in Ezekiel 1, 4 to 10, and thus the four figures probably refer to four different angels in Ezekiel 10. These living creatures or angels seem to be associated with creation and its ultimate redemption. I know lion goes together with Matthew, calf with Mark, was it with Mark? Mm-hmm. Man with Luke, and eagle with John.
It says here that God's attributes.
Some people think that's because the talk about, what's that?
It says here that God's attributes are symbolized in the animal-like appearances of these four creatures.
Mm-hmm.
Our majesty and power, the lion. Faithfulness, the calf, intelligence, the man, and sovereignty, the eagle.
Sovereignty for eagle too?
Sovereignty for eagle.
Nice. All All right, let's read verses 8 through 11.
We're at.
Back to Revelation. The four living creatures. I think we all agree that this could be, these are angels, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Each having six wings, full of eyes around them. And they do not rest day or night. I think I wrote something about rest here. Look at what I wrote in your notes. Rest is a physical necessity of early life. This mm-hmm. might be what Peter, Brother Pete was saying earlier. But in heaven, it is unnecessary.
Well, without the flesh, it wouldn't be necessary.
That's right.
It says here, like cherubim, they're the highest order of the angels. They guard really? God's throne.
Yeah.
The cherubim is the highest order of the angels?
Yes, they guard God's throne. They lead others in worship and proclaim God's holiness.
Nice. Yeah, they're the ones that say, holy, holy, holy.
Yeah. We're going to see it right here. So these guys, these angels are saying, holy, holy, holy. Very similar to Isaiah 6, 1 and 10. Let's go to Isaiah real quick. Oh, we read it already.
Yeah, I think we did that one already.
Yeah, we did it. We read it. So when King Uzziah died, and Isaiah sees the Lord sitting on a throne, and he sees angels saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The whole earth is full of his glory. Verse 9. Yep, they're saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him, to God, who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever. Mm-hmm. The 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever. And cast their crowns before the throne, saying, you are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. So it seems like whenever the living creatures worship God here, the 24 elders join them too.
Yeah. Who are the 24 elders?
Good question.
They don't really tell you.
No.
Otherwise you wouldn't have something to talk about at Rose. No.
Now, next week, God willing, 25. So we see God sitting in his throne in this chapter here. And next week, God willing, we're going to see Jesus in chapter 5. Mm-hmm. And he's the only one that's able to open up the scroll, right?
Yes.
Open up the seals of the scroll.
By the way, a cherub is described in the dictionary as a member of a second order of angels, often represented as a beautiful, rosy-cheeked child with wings.
Wow.
Probably from the Catholic.
Like Cupid.
Yeah. I'm gonna wait until I get there.
Nah,
I'm not gonna say here. I'm not gonna make fun of angels.
I want to be surprised.
What does Hebrews say about angels?
You don't want to mess with them. That's for sure.
Servants of them.
What does it say? I think let's see if it's in chapter.
Talk to Sodom and Gomorrah about angels.
Anybody know?
That,
what does the author of Hebrews say about angels? To be what?
Messengers.
Right, where is it?
Angels unaware, is that what you're saying?
You're getting there, close. Where is it? I know it's in either one or two. Mm. Be careful to entertain, I think that's how it goes, right? Somebody help me out.
Right.
For some have entertained angels unaware.
There you go.
Yeah, I heard that. Yeah.
So, be careful when you entertain a stranger.
Right.
Because it might be an angel.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. That's.
Where's that at?
Don't get around with anybody. You better get around with an angel.
Anybody find it? Nobody?
Les, did you just say don't kid around with anyone?
With anyone, no more. No.
I'll believe that when I see it.
I don't think it's a discouragement it's 13, to entertain a stranger.
Hebrews 13:2?
Yes.
Wow. All the way back.
Where to it?
13:2.
Hebrews 13:2.
That's where I got the $1 million.
No, it says do not forget to entertain strangers.
Oh, do not forget. Okay.
Right. Yeah, it's an encouragement.
Because some of them might be angels, is it? That's right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right. Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by so doing, some have unwittingly entertained angels.
Well, I'm not changing. I'm with
yeah,
oh, come on, James. Not as funny as you.
I'm gonna still kid around and make people laugh.
Give them a joke and give them $1 million.
That's it. I got the $1 million right here.
I've seen you at your worst.
Mine says, do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by this some have entertained angels without knowing it.
Wow. There you go. Your wonderful blessing. Please take us home safely and be ready for tomorrow, Lord. Thank you for all the different ministries here at the church. And thank you for this group as we want to know more and more about you. Mm-hmm. Lord, we love you. We thank you. And again, Father, help us, please, to be more closer to you. We pray in Jesus' name.
Amen.
When's your next...